Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on this gorgeous February morning. It's 9:10. It's 37 degrees. And I have a guest across the way making his regular monthly appearance to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, please do welcome Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. Yay! How are you doing this morning, Mike?
Good. How are you this morning?
I am outstanding. Tell me what is new in the face of... All right, last time we talked, you were heading down to Jonesboro. Did you get any ducks?
No. No,
no.
I did not. No. We were down there. The guys that were at the lodge before we were there, in 2 days of hunting, killed 117 ducks.
So they got them all?
Evidently, because we killed three. Yeah.
How many days did you guys hunt?
2 days, yeah. Oh, it was horrible. They weren't, and you could go 200 yards in any direction. There'd be thousands of them on the rice fields and stuff down there.
They just weren't coming in on
the blind.
They
just weren't flying. Yep. Just weren't flying those 2 days.
Is that a weather thing?
I don't know if it was a feeding thing, if it was a weather thing. I don't know. It was unseasonably warm. It was in the 60s when we were down there.
Oh, I bet you that's probably
so that may be part of it. But yeah, it was tough. It was a lot of sitting.
That's a tough couple of days.
It was enjoyable. It was described to me, and this was the first time I'd ever been duck hunting.
Uh-huh.
So it was described as going deer hunting with all your buddies, but you get to sit in the same stand and don't have to be quiet. So it was.
So I didn't know if you had to sit there quietly for.
No, we were in a blind.
How big's the blind?
Well, there were 11 or 12 of us in this blind, so it was pretty good sized. Yeah.
Just out in the middle of a pond or something?
Well, no, they had 200 acres worth of rice fields that they flood, and so it's all. It looks like lakes, but it's just rice fields, probably mid shin, knee deep, maybe.
That's cold, isn't it? Well, I guess not when it's 60 degrees.
It wasn't bad. They said that a couple weeks before we were there, it was 7 degrees out there. That would have been a little chilly, probably. But no, it wasn't bad while we were there. It was a good time, but obviously would like to have...
you'd like to have been able to achieve your purpose.
Yes, it would have been nice. You know, I shot some, but it was just to make sure the gun would go off. Yeah. That was about the extent of my... hunting.
Well, that's but it was fun to go.
Yeah, oh, it was a good time. Yep.
You know, the thing is, you've got that also when you're down and away from the office for a while, you get back into the office, you realize, hey, the world goes on, doesn't it, while you're gone?
Oh, it does. I've said it a million times, that place ran long before I came along, and it'll be running long after I leave. So.
I suspect so. Now, you've had a few nice, interesting busts over the last, a lot of investigation work going into some of these, some of the things going on. Is there anything you can talk about? I was going to ask you about, and one you can probably hardly talk about, is the Paxton Bruce arrest, and he's still in your jail?
Yes, he is.
Mike, the question about it is kind of tangential to that. It has been reported that there is that he's a member of a gang, of a prison gang.
Okay.
The Aryan Brotherhood, for as far as I know the name. Do you see a lot of gang activity in the jails in this area, or is it more of a state penitentiary type of system thing?
I think with our demographics and the size of our jail, we don't get a lot of activity. We get people that are when we run them through the lead system or something like that, they may have an affiliation. If they've been in prison before or if they've been in another county jail in a larger area, whether it be East St. Louis or Chicago or something like that, they may have on their printouts that may show a gang affiliation.
Yeah.
But we don't see a lot of that kind of activity within our jail.
I can only assume that if when you run a printout on somebody, after you pull somebody over, say, and you run their plate or you run their ID, and something comes up, a member of a gang or a former member of the gang, I can only assume that lights some bulbs and rings some bells, doesn't it?
Yeah, that does heighten your awareness a little bit. And a lot of times when it talks about gang affiliation, these folks might not be an actual for lack of a better term, a
card-carrying
member.
Formal.
Right.
Yeah.
They may just have some affiliation due to someone that they ran with.
Known acquaintance or something like that, right?
Right. So we just, like I said, we just don't see a lot of that multiple people in there at one time.
I'm presuming then when something like that does come up, since it doesn't come up very often, you don't mind just moving those folks down the road.
No, that if it's something that's fairly serious, you know, obviously we're going to do what we need to do. But,
sure.
It's not always a bad thing to get them on to the next step in their process.
Yeah, I bet. What's the number, right? How's the population?
16 this morning.
That's a little low, isn't it?
Yeah, it's down a little bit from what it had been running. You know, I did some numbers a couple of weeks ago just to see over the last 3 years where we've been. And we've averaged, I think, 20 or 21 for the last 3 years. That's just an average.
Is it was 2016 near the mean, or was it above or below? Did you get a chance to compare and contrast the years?
Well, yes. It's funny because each year seems to average out to about 20 or 21.
Really?
Because you'll have a few months of the 27, 28, you know, whatever, and then you'll have some months of the 10 or 12.
You know, and we talked about this last time. I was asking if it gets seasonal, and it wasn't.
No, the months are random. In looking at that, they're, whenever I did it there a couple weeks ago, in looking at it, there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's you can't say, okay, these 3 months are traditionally low or this month is traditionally high. It just seems like throughout the course of a year with our facility, it just seems to always average out throughout a year to be about that 20 or 21 mark.
We've been pretty fortunate so far this winter in that we haven't had a whole lot of precipitation, and we haven't had too many rivers or anything out. Your deputies have been patrolling around out there, but they've been able to follow their normal routes, haven't they?
Yeah, it's not been bad. We've not had, you know, obviously with spring coming, you'll have some of that maybe, but the way the weather has been so far this winter, we've been blessed to – and not had too terrible of a time so far.
We talked a little bit the last time you were here about the precautions that you have to make, because it was going to get colder. It was supposed to get really cold, and it never really got too terribly cold. Whenever the spring comes on, I guess you got to pull the blanket out of the car, but you do always probably want to keep flashlights and things in your car.
Oh, sure,
don't you?
Sure. You want to keep flashlights. Anything like that, that especially if you do a lot of traveling at night, something that you ought to have just in case, you know, in case of a flat tire or something like that where you're out on the side of the road. You know, it would be, obviously this is something that not everybody would carry or you think about, but something reflective if you are out on one of these county roads at night and have a flat tire, have car trouble, something reflective would be good to have to wear while you're changing the tire, or at least have something on the vehicle, a light that blinks, something to let people know that you're outside of the vehicle.
Well, you know, you see, you hear every whip stitch, probably within every last month or two, you'll hear somebody injured on the interstate,
mm-hmm.
Where they were out looking their car or fixing something on their car. And it doesn't just happen on the interstate. You hear about it more on the interstate because it may happen more often there because there's more traffic.
Right.
But the same kind of thing can happen on a county highway, a state highway, or even on the side of a road, just a little country road.
Sure. You look at Burnt Prairie Blacktop, for instance.
Right.
With all the curves and the hills and stuff that are on that road, it wouldn't take, and allegedly the speed that people travel on Burnt Prairie Blacktop.
It's 30 miles an hour, Mike.
Well, that's, yes. I'm not sure that is the adhered to speed
limit. Oh!
But,
it's really not posted, is it?
No, it's not. But, you know, that road is a great example of if you had car trouble on the side of the road in the middle of the night, you know, it would be very good to have something that people could see, you know, as they drive up on you.
That's exactly right. But you brought up Burnt Prairie Blacktop not being posted. Well, it may be posted at points in there, but really, I think whenever you guys pull somebody over on Burnt Prairie Blacktop, they are accessing, what would the charge be if there's nothing posted like that? Exceeding the speed for safety or something?
Right, too fast for conditions.
Too fast for conditions.
Right, that would be what you would do there, just due to...
And it's pretty easy to tell, isn't it?
Oh, it is, on that road, and there's a lot of others in the county that are like that. But yes, that is something that we would use when there isn't a posted speed limit. If someone is driving in a manner that is unsafe for that road, for the traffic on that road at that time of day, or whatever it is, too fast for conditions would be the appropriate violation.
You mentioned, I tell you what we'll do. We're going to take a little break here. I'm talking to Sheriff Mike Everett. He mentioned earlier about the population of the jail. I was wondering if you also keep figures on your number of stops and that kind of thing. We'll talk about that when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show. You are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back after these.
I was running through the summer rain, trying to catch the evening train and kill that old familiar pain, weaving through my tangled brain. But when I tipped my bottle back, I smacked into a cop I didn't see. That policeman said, "Mr. Cool, if you ain't drunk, then you're a fool." I said, "If that's against the law, tell me why I never saw a man locked in that jail of yours who wasn't just as low-down poor as me." Well, that was when someone turned out the lights, and I wound up in jail to spend the night and dream of all the wine and lonely girls in this best of all possible worlds. Well, I woke up next morning feeling like my head was gone and like my thick old tongue was licking something sick and wrong. And I told that man I'd sell my soul, something wet and cold is that old cell. That kindly jailer grinned at me, all eaten up with sympathy, then poured himself another beer and came and whispered in my ear, "If booze was just a dime a bottle, boy, you couldn't even buy the smell." I said I knew there was something I liked about this town, but it takes more than that to bring me down, 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 'cause there's still a lot of wine and lonely girls in this best of all possible world.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. I appreciate you tuning in. My guest across the way is Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett, and we've been talking about a variety of subjects so far this morning. We're going to get to scholarships here in a few minutes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know you got that coming up.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that in a few minutes. We left off. You were talking about the population, your study of the population inside the jail, and how the population varies over the course of time. You've been in it 6 years, 7 years now, right? So,
right.
I mean, you have a pretty good size database to deal with. Traffic stops are kind of booked and kept in a similar fashion, aren't they, Mike?
Yes. And we talked about it.
And contacts. I guess. Do you call them traffic stops or contacts?
Well, either or. I don't remember how many years ago it's been. I know it's probably been 10 years ago. The state of Illinois, in their infinite wisdom, decided to have us as officers start to fill out a traffic stop data sheet.
Right.
Basically, what they were doing was
kind of a census.
Right. A census of the traffic stop. What the violation was, whether there was a search conducted, the race of the individual being stopped, lots of information.
Sex,
right,
gender, that
right.
kind of thing.
So that was I believe at the outset, that was a 2-year study.
Uh-huh.
And it's still going on today.
Yeah.
So
it probably will continue, I'd say.
I would say there is no end in the foreseeable future. But I do know that they've even upped that here in the last year and a half or 2 years. They have started doing pedestrian stop data sheets as well.
Really?
So if you have, in New York, it was the whole controversy over stop and frisk.
Yeah.
Well, Illinois has done something to track those contacts as well with the public. And
that's not just your typical. Now, that's different from your typical normal policing where you're hanging around talking to folks.
Right.
This is a contact where this is more of a contact where you're searching or prodding for something.
Right.
I guess,
right. Where you are, it's whether it be a probable cause or a reasonable suspicion stop.
I see.
They're wanting to know the whys and what happens. And,
yeah.
And you have to give the pedestrian a receipt.
Oh, really?
For the stop. Yes.
You know, it's been like that. I hate to say from personal experience, you kind of have to do that on stops on the highway, don't you? I mean, because whenever you get a warning, it's typically a written warning.
Well, yes, there are written warnings, a lot of verbal warnings.
Yeah.
You know, but.
You don't have to give a receipt on a verbal warning in a vehicle?
No.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it cuts down on time of the stop and everything else just to be able to say, hey. Knock it off.
Hey, knock it off.
Stop doing what you're doing.
Fly right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How much, okay, so if you're, you may not know off the top of your head, and I don't know if you have access to the figures, do those vary widely over the course of years or months, or how do those vary?
Well, they vary. We've talked
Those may be more seasonal, I would think.
That's what I was getting ready to say. We've talked before about the population being seasonal or our
or
activity.
Not. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is definitely seasonal as far as the traffic stops go. Obviously, in the wintertime, if it's nasty out, weather's bad, you know, you're not going to see nearly as many stops.
Yeah.
As you do in the spring, summer, and fall times when there are more people traveling,
right.
More people out and about. You'll see more vehicle stops during the months, probably between April and September, October, than you do during the winter months.
You got more people out.
Yes.
And you also have folks get louder.
Sure. And more, you know, in the summertime, there are more get-togethers where there might be an adult beverage or some other illegal substance involved.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to have something, a case where people are out on the road traveling to and from those get-togethers or whatever, and that's when our guys are going to be out doing a little more traffic than what they would in a 30-degree sleet and evening.
Do you recognize a difference? I mean, your staff has been pretty stable over the past 6 years. Do you recognize a difference in the amount of stops over the from 2011 to 2016, or is it one pretty similar to the other?
They're all pretty similar.
I guess my question is, I mean, I don't mean to use the word quota, but we always heard there used to be quotas.
Sure.
And now quota is a dirty word, but I mean, police officers have to get your stops.
Well, and that's just part of what we do.
Yeah.
You know, I realize people don't like that, and they don't like the fact that for every 10 stops, a guy gets a new toaster or something. They, you know, that's they don't like that. But
that's not true.
No, it's not. But, no, that
it's
is
a,
just,
it's a new pistol.
That is just,
that's not true either.
That's just, you know, that's one of the facets of our job. And we try not to be a burden on the public when it comes to traffic and vehicle stops and the like. But there are times if you're running, you know, 75 in a 55,
to slow down.
You're probably going to get stopped. But, you know, with the guys that we have now, it's just not really the guys that we have are more involved in investigations. And they're doing – now, they're out and about, and I do see tickets and traffic stops come across my desk. But it's not nearly as often as what you would see from –
Well, the investigation – the investigating side of the coin – Mm-hmm. is an entirely different animal from the policing side, I guess. Well, they're both part of the same thing, but they are two different parts of it.
Well, the investigative side is something that you don't see.
Right.
You know, guys may be working for, and I think we talked about it last month, 6 or 8 months working diligently trying to build a case and get a case on someone that they finally arrest. Well, you see, they got an arrest on a Friday night. Well, that may be the culmination of 3 or 4 months worth of surveillance and confidential sources and different things like that we use that the public doesn't see. Well, they've not been doing anything. Well, you just don't see all the behind-the-scenes things that get done in those investigations that bring about these arrests.
Mike, tell me some stories. What's the long investigation? I mean, you'll see like the FBI will investigate a mafia guy for 20 years,
right,
before they finally bring charges or something like that. In the you don't have the time to you can't afford to do something like
that. Not that long.
And no, but an ongoing investigation. What is the do you have an idea of how long is average, or what's the longest you've been involved in that culminated in an arrest?
Well, the one that is closest to memory, I think that it was worked on probably about 10 or 11 months.
Is that right?
Of just constant, again,
surveillance, and I presume information gathering.
Oh,
right?
Sure, that's a huge part of it, because you have to have something that's going to, you have someone that you're looking at or someone that's doing something they shouldn't be doing, and if it is that long of an investigation, you're talking about a large scope.
Yeah.
Of activity.
Sure.
So you're trying to cover all the bases. You're trying to do all the things that you know need to be done to make the case solid. And a lot of times these folks are getting smarter and smarter about what they do, about how they travel, the trafficking, the different things that they use. So then we have to be patient. And a lot of times that's not easy to do.
Well, that's the thing. You hear new scams. Mm-hmm. I heard two in the last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I got a phone call from somebody trying to hit me with a scam the other night, but there was one we were talking. I think I talked with Keith Cocklager about it last week. In that somebody is making a phone call,
mm-hmm.
and they'll try to get you to say yes to something immediately,
right?
Just something small like, "Are you the head of the household?" Yes, and they'll record that yes and use it later in a conversation.
Right.
What kind of – are you seeing anything new like that as well, Mike?
No, the things that we run into a lot obviously are the scams of we're from the Internal Revenue Service.
Yeah.
Or some of the phone scams that we've had, they'll use the Sheriff's Association.
Oh, really?
By phone.
You guys don't do anything by phone.
No, and that's one of the things. I've already had a couple of calls recently about our mailer that has gone out.
Uh-huh.
And that's the only way we solicit through the Sheriff's Association is by letter. And it'll have my signature on the bottom of it and everything else. But a lot of times people will call and say, "Hey, I got a call from the Sheriff's Association. Is this legitimate?" No, it is not. So that's one of the things that we see. But usually there are... purporting to be someone that they're not, whether it be the IRS or a cable company or a phone company that you owe money to or whatever. Those are things that we see probably the most.
I had a good one the other night. I don't know if it was a scam or not. I really don't think it was a scam. I think it was just a pretty effective way of getting the of making you, the listener in the conversation, the receiver of the call, making you listen to the talk. She called and basically, well, it wasn't she. It was a computer generated. Because whenever I talked back to her, she didn't stop talking. but I picked up the phone, and they basically made it sound like they had trouble getting your end of the conversation,
mm-hmm.
hearing your end of the conversation. So she kind of stumbles around. This is all recorded. She stumbles around and says, now the phone's connected. Well, now I can hear you. What you say? And I appreciate you answering the phone. Gives you a second to think, to mm-hmm. say hello or something. And then she starts into her spiel, and I'm trying to stop her. And I realize, oh, wow, this sounded real.
Yeah.
And this is and that's the thing. This sounded real. They were just trying to sell me a boat trip
mm-hmm.
or something like that, right? But that's how effective this can be for a presumably legal enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
Just think how much different a presumably illegal enterprise would be to fool you the same way, right?
Sure. And they are becoming more and more adept at getting information out of people. And we have calls weekly, as I'm sure the police department does as well. Hey, I got this call. Is it a scam? And our answer is always, as long as you're not giving people information of any kind, you're all right. Yeah. If they call you and you talk to them, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get something taken or anything like that. It's when you start to give them information of any kind, whether it be addresses or anything like that.
You know, and that's the thing also, Mike. Folks don't realize how much little information it takes to give somebody
right
before they get a nice little foothold, didn't it?
Oh, if they can get an address or anything like that, then you start to look at stealing trash or anything right. like that, to where they can get, you know, information from, you know, you get your prepaid or your pre-approved
credit card
sure. stuff, you know, all of that. And it's very easy for people to get a credit card application, for me to get a credit card in your name would be fairly easy.
I must admit, and now hopefully you won't take me to jail, I just got magazines in my dog's names.
Hey, that, you know, it's no different. Well, people do that.
I
mean, it is what it is.
I just didn't want, I did it for two reasons. Well, I did it for mainly I don't get on a list.
Right, right.
My address will get on a list, but it's also to see where this information goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm getting a magazine to Bucky, mm-hmm. if I'm getting a magazine to Bucky Jocko at the Walker Street Bar, I have a pretty good feeling once I start getting solicitations for something else, Bucky Jocko at the Walker Street Bar, I'm going to see where everything's going.
Right. Well, and I just saw in the news yesterday, I believe it was, where the television company Vizio.
Wasn't that something?
Yes, they were tracking or basically spying on their customers through the televisions and selling their viewing habits to other companies. So it is so easy for people to get your information, to use that information, to sell it to people who are going to bug the absolute tar out of you to try and sell you something.
You think you just turn on the TV and you're safe.
Not with the quote-unquote smart TVs.
It's Boy, very, I am so glad my high definition's not smart enough.
No, mine is a TV.
I'm as dumb as my TV. I've got Mike Everett here. We're talking about all kinds of things. We've got a sheriff scholarship we want to talk about here in just a minute. You are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back after these.
Nation wide.
That's probably true. Yeah. That's probably true. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show, folks. I'm talking with Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. We're talking about a variety of different things. And I tell you what, we haven't talked about it yet, but I heard it on the news, I think, last week. You've got, and now is the time, isn't it, for kids to start signing up for the big scholarship, isn't it?
Yes, yes. March 15th is the deadline. Open to, you know, all Wayne County students going to an Illinois college mm-hmm. next year. So come by the office, get an application, have it turned in to us before March 15th.
For, what is it, a $500?
$500 scholarship.
How many do you award?
One. It's the...
It's statewide, though, right?
It is. It's statewide. And each, the scholarship, the number of scholarships is based on your membership in your county.
Uh-huh.
And the minimum is 500. Okay. There are some sheriffs that have enough members in their county, they'll give two $500 scholarships
away.
Oh, that's good. But with our membership here in Wayne County, we have one $500 scholarship.
And we were talking a little bit ago about the Illinois Sheriff's Association, and they're the folks who, I mean, they collect the money for this. This mm-hmm. is through them, right?
Right, right. It is through them. They award the scholarships.
You guys have no. You guys just collect the application. You have no. Do you pick the? You
yes.
Don't, oh, you do mm-hmm. here. Okay.
Yes, we. What I have done in the past is have had three people other than myself look over the applications and pick their rank. Theirs.
Rank them. Sure.
And then I go through it with them, and then we pick one from there.
How many folks will you get to apply? And this is open not just Fairfield, it's all Wayne County students.
All Wayne
right?
County students, yes. We have had as many as 8 or 10, but as little as 2 or 3.
See, now that's the thing. I'm sitting here doing the math in my head. You've got 30 kids graduating from Wayne City, 20 or 30 kids graduating from Sisney, and 100 kids, 75 to 100 kids graduating from Fairfield. Mm-hmm. You're looking at maybe about a pool of 130 or 40 kids, right?
Right.
And of that bunch, you figure 50-60% going to college,
mm-hmm.
or maybe 70 mm-hmm. when you count community college. And these right. and these funds are applicable to community college as well as regular college, right?
Sure, sure. We've sent the scholarship money to U of I, to any number of places over the last few years.
Do you remember some of your winners over the last years? Are they still in college? Any success stories? I should have asked you that beforehand.
I know some of them are still in college. I know Alex Brake from here in town was a winner.
Yeah.
A pair of siblings from Wayne City.
Oh, is that right?
The Buchanan kids both won. Ian and, I can't remember his sister's name, so forgive me if you're listening.
I hope they're not.
They both won from over there at Wayne City. We've had one of the Pond girls from Sisney
mm-hmm.
Won it as well. So it's been kind of spread out.
And the thing is, it's probably a pretty nice nice way for the Sheriff's Association to do something, giving back to the community, as opposed to just, you know, like we were talking, pulling people over and that
sure,
kind of thing.
Sure, sure. It's something that I enjoy. It's good to read the applications a lot. Every year we'll have an essay question that they have to write about as part of the application process, and it's neat to read those. And
does the essay question change?
Yeah, every 2 years it changes.
Mm-hmm. What is the essay question? Compare and contrast the last time you were arrested. And
no, the last year and this year, it was about the heroin epidemic.
Is that right?
And
what do you ask?
Just
not do you see it, but how do you?
How would you
deal?
How would you fix it? Deal with it? How would you address it?
Wow!
I just had a membership meeting last week, a membership committee meeting, and we
with the full committee of the full state. So you had other people from other.
Yes, I mean my membership committee is sheriffs. I think there are seven of us.
Yeah, seven different sheriffs right. around the state, right?
And I think next year we're going to. The question will be something along the lines of police community relations. You know, a lot of the hot topic of today, as far as how police are viewed and things, what would you do in your community to fix that? So I would
say that's a great question, isn't it?
Well, it is, and throughout the state, I think you would see a lot of different perspectives. Whether you're a student applying in Cook County,
right.
or whether you're a student applying in Pope County, it's going to be a different perspective on what you think that, you know, the national media, how they have covered you know, police relations over the last two or three years.
Do you guys get the chance to share throughout with the other sheriffs in the state some of the answers that you're getting, maybe that are better answering the question or more interesting?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we talk about with the membership group is how are they answering it? What are you seeing from different parts of the state? So it's good information to have.
Well, that's pretty good. How are we fixing heroin? How are the kids going to fix heroin?
Well, I think for the most part, they landed on more of an education process.
Yeah. And that is the thing probably that is more needed than anything else, because mm-hmm. you'll see, well, I saw on 60 Minutes a few months ago or weeks ago about the kids in Ohio that were ODing.
Right.
And you haven't seen that in Southern Illinois, but it's something that can happen, isn't it?
Oh, it could happen. It could happen in a matter of a week. A batch comes through of heroin that is not a good batch. None of it's good, but, I mean, something that's laced with something bad. A bad concentration, right. Something like that, and you could have, two or three deaths on
you.
You
could
hands.
Have an epidemic that you really sure. were that you did not see coming.
Sure.
Tell me, Mike, so the scholarships are available where again?
Come to our office, the sheriff's office there at the Green Roof Inn, to pick up the applications and have them back in by March 15th.
If folks want more information about it, they can call. Sure. And I presume it's on your Facebook too, right? The Sheriff's Department Facebook page?
Should be. If yeah. it isn't,
note to Andy.
If it isn't, Mike Miller should be doing that right now.
let's put it this way: it may be on there by the time you get back to the shop.
Yes, by the time I get back to the office, it probably will be on the Facebook page.
Oh, that's good. All right, every month you're here, we do appreciate the recommendations that Mike brings to the table of restaurant recommendations. You have one in Arkansas maybe today and one in Illinois. Tell me what you got.
In Jonesboro, Arkansas, we went to the J-Town Grill.
Oh, really?
When we were there in Jonesboro for the evening. More of a pub food type thing.
Jonesboro is the northwest corner, right?
Northeast corner.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Not a bad four-hour drive.
Yeah, 4-hour drive from here. But it was good. Like I said, if you like that sort of atmosphere, TVs with sports and pub food and, you know, burgers and you know, things like that, greasy appetizers.
That's not bad.
No, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
And then the sheriff in Fayette County suggested a place in Vandalia called Ember's Pizza.
Ember's Pizza. Yeah. Tell me about Ember's Pizza. You haven't been there yet, huh?
Yeah, we did go by there. We were on a prison trip here a couple weeks ago, and Andy and I stopped there.
I got to tell you, you and Andy are staying svelte. I'm surprised you're going to any restaurants like that.
Well,
pizza places.
It's good. It's a brick oven type joint.
Uh-huh.
I would almost call it. What do they call it? The artisan?
Oh, really? Artisanal type. Pizza? Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of fancy pizza, but it was good. It was a good place.
So you had margarita pizza and all that kind of stuff.
I'm kind of a traditionalist. I just had the all meat pizza.
They offered the margarita.
Yeah,
pizza.
they offer that sort of stuff. The, you know, spinach.
It is kind of interesting to me. I mean, as a pizza connoisseur, as you have been for over 40 years.
Yes.
The emergence of the flatbreads.
Yes.
And actually, it's pretty darn good.
It is good. Yes. I like it.
The brick oven would be mainly a flatbread
right,
type of pizza.
Right,
yeah.
And again, I like my old standards.
Sure.
But
standard crust.
It was a good place to go. I mean, it was good for a lunch.
I've got someplace I'm going that I haven't been in a couple of weeks, and I'll tell you about it next time you're on the show.
Okay.
Going to go to Evansville to this place that I've heard much about, but haven't had a chance to go. Mike, thanks very much for coming back on the show.
All right. Thank you.
Talk to you again in about a month. That's Mike Everett. Thanks very much, everybody, for listening to The Bruce Dickey Show. We'll talk to you all again tomorrow. Have a great day.